Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to AMC Press and Co. We welcome you whether you're on planet Mars. This means aliens can hear us. Brilliant. We wondered where those came from. We were all talking about it in the office. Short notes. Very quickly before we begin, we are an affiliated Blog Talk Radio Network. We would like to express the views and opinions of the hosts are not shared with any affiliates or sponsors. View discretion is advised.
Yes, and with that, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode... Hello. This is episode 481 of AMC Press and Co. And on tonight's show, United with Abilities and More, Allison is back. Thank you, God, for that. And we have a special guest coming in on by the name of Christine Jackson, who hails from Orlando, Florida.
Right here, right. She's right on the air.
And she's right here. Aha!
Hello, everybody.
Hello. And tonight, we'll be reviewing some stories that we think that we've covered last week, such as from the following comics, which is include Social Security and Disability Notes Left on Cars. Shame those people left on cars. Anyway, and then later in the show, we'll discuss Incredibles 2, and as well as coming out with the all-important United Airlines incident that happened earlier today. As well as the first ban on sub-minimum wages for people with disabilities. And then we end with an announcement, which is, sadly, American Idol is going off the air. Well, for more info for us, you can find us at itsmyurls.com/AMCPress and shop for us on zazzle.com, keyword AMC Press pop-up shop. And you can connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. Our handles are AMC Press and Co. Or, sorry, AMC Press News and AMC Press 31. So, yeah, let's get the show started.
Yes.
What do we have to do? We have to report. Go ahead, Alex.
Okay, I know you guys report on this. I don't see this paperless thing, this paperless idea that Social Security has being a benefit, especially for those who do not have a computer or are in situations where they can't afford internet. And how is it supposed to even help those who have to go down to Social Security to change important information, like payees down to calling about issues or going down there and having speak about issues that they go through. I think it's going to do a disservice to many people. Are they? I wonder if anyone thought that. Oh yes, those that may be older, elderly, don't have computers. So who are they going to be hurting? Really?
True. You do have a point, but the elderly, are getting more tech savvy. I mean, very slowly, but they're getting more tech savvy.
Okay, that's not all. I know people that they have cell phones, but they don't want all smartphones. Some people I know don't even have internet. Some people don't even own computers.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Do you know any 90-year-olds that own computers?
Well, yeah. I mean, I know one that is basically, for all intents and purposes, a communication arts fanatic. But that's about the only one that I know.
Right, that's not all. I'm saying some do, some don't. That's a majority don't.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, the majority don't. They don't think that it's going to actually provide any knowledge. I mean, the only reason why they would probably use a computer would be to contact their relatives, which I can see happening. But, you know, other than that, I don't see anything happening, you know, with that. And the other thing about it is also with today's audience, you know, it's very different than, say, the audience that we know. Yeah,
right.
We're up against. In that kind of milieu.
I'm just saying that there's a lot of people that don't have it, and why are they supposed to? Who's going to be suffering? Who's going to be unable to get their documents, important documents, those that don't have? And that's the unfortunate thing.
I mean, there will be many, many, many people that don't have or don't want, you know, I mean, it to happen. But it's going to happen, and it's going to happen rather slowly, this change. And, I mean, am I advocating for it? Yes and no. You know, the advocation stems from the fact that everything is digital now. My worry is, along with you, Allison, is as the internet takes over everything, what else are we going to have left? You know?
I would rather have the people actually to talk to versus hearing people from call centers go, what's your problem? Where are you calling from? Oh, yeah, okay, I have a social security number.
Or the inimitable, there is a wait time. Please hang up, leave a message, and call back again. This is your number. You are number 11. Thank you. That, I mean, is kind of a thing which is restricting it's restrictive. I mean, I don't know how many times I've called Apple or some other service, and they said, you are this in line. Where is the physical line? Do we know of the physical line? You know.
If I may just chime in, you know, and
go ahead.
With Devin, you know, receiving Social Security benefits himself for his disability, one of the situations and one of the problems that they need to understand and address that, yes, okay, that may be the majority. And, you know, right now, yes, our generation and future generations are going more tech savvy. And, yes, but at least give the option if you want paperless, okay?
Absolutely.
Don't
right.
make that
right.
option and choice for people, because people with special needs or disabilities, a lot of them are not their own decision makers. Okay, and you
right.
do have older generations where Allison is very correct. They do not even have an email address. They do not have access
oh, absolutely.
To any of the higher technology. So when you're dealing with a broader spectrum and you're dealing with, the general population, you really should not be taking those choices away from them. Absolutely, if you need to save the pennies that you're looking to save by going paperless, then by all means do so, but make it a choice for the individuals if they choose to go paperless to save that money. And my question is, with whatever amount of money or pennies that they're saving from going paperless, who is going to be receiving those financial benefits? Because I'm pretty sure it's not going to be the people who are receiving the monetary funds.
That would be a disservice to a whole lot of people, young and
right.
old.
And I think you're right, Christine. I mean, the thing is that we all on this podcast, we may or may not, we're not going to tell anybody what, you know, if we receive them or not. But the point is that, yeah, for people who have physical addresses and don't have computer screens or emails or don't even know what email is, they're still in the dark ages. And if you choose to go paperless, Let the generation now do it. Don't let
Correct.
The don't let the older baby boomer generation do it, because some of them, while they may be with the times, it's also very annoying for them. You know, they would
mm-hmm.
like to see the paperless post the paper post actually come to the mailbox. I mean,
versus an email.
Versus an email that might get spam blocked. Anything of the above. Happen. God forbid if they don't have if they have the electronics and get rid of the paper post and they start closing offices, how many people do we think in the United States are going to go to the local representative and say, what the hell are you doing? I mean, where's my check going to come from? You know?
And also, when there's repayee issues, or when people are going, okay, someone wants to change from, say, a parent to themselves, guess what? They need to present documents like doctors saying that you're capable of managing your own funds.
Right.
So this will also be a disservice to that service as well. It's like, so you have to fax the stuff to you? Do you need psychological treatment?
Well, not everybody is physically capable or financially capable to be able to transmit all of the documentation needed via, the internet, through scanning the documents, faxing the documents. Some people are, stuck to their home. Not everybody's going to have that capability. So what I'm saying is if you want to cut costs, okay, because, I mean, that's the bottom line, is all about trying to cut costs. And, again, where those savings are going to go, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But if you want to cut costs, then simply let people have the choice if they choose to go paperless or not. You may have a large percentage that may choose that, but you will not be deserving the smaller portion that cannot or just simply does not want that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that in the scheme of things, I mean, there are schemes in America, there are schemes in the UK and around the world in terms of financial schemes, and whatever. The scheme in terms of the financials of something like Social Security as the generations go on, is it going to be a thing where where it is electronic, and then slowly as we transition, can we have both of an idea of who gets paper, who gets electronic, you know, because I would hate to see it disappear, you know, because that's what the United States is founded on. That if you go straight back through history to a guy named FDR or Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he's the one who created Social Security. So, you know, if Social Security were to go, what would happen then? I mean, would an entire United States economy crumble? You bet. But what, in terms of the paper or electronic, I'd like to receive them in both. I mean,
so
if I were on...
I feel like paper is better because you could actually save it. You could have it in a file with all your other files that relate to your disabilities and the disability of the person, where it's like, okay, here's everything. And
right.
It's not in, like,
exactly.
A PDF file where you go, oh, yes, I don't need this anymore. Garbage.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like, how many people clean out, it's like, there people do backups on their computers. How many times do things get lost, too?
Hard drive
shuffle.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
If a hard drive crashes,
hard
drives crash, that's not going to be a pretty thing. It's going to be like, oh, I hope I saved this. I hope I still have that email.
Right. And the only thing that's going to save you is, I hope I press saved or save. There's a thing called the save button, but there's also a very funny British comedy show called The IT Crowd, where there wasn't, the last episode was the internet was represented by a box, right? Are we going to have a box known as Social Security? You know, where
I don't know.
Paper... I mean, Christine, what do you think?
It's getting to be where, yes, like I said, I understand that, paper, and DVDs and things of that nature are all being replaced by technology, which is, you know, that could be a wonderful thing, but technology could also be a blessing. It could be a curse in the same sentence, because along with technology, if you really think about it, you know, we've lost a lot of simple things like simple human, interaction and contact.
Yeah.
While technology is a good thing,
yeah.
We have to be very prudent and very careful when we're making these decisions, and especially when you're in a position or an office that you're making them for a general public or population and not just a small sect of people.
You really need
to be conscious when you're making these choices.
Exactly, you know.
And being aware of who you might actually stir a steaming pot that's a semi-steaming
pot.
Well,
in this instance, to add insult to injury, you're making these choices on behalf of a lot of people who are not in a position to be at the mental capacity to be making their own choices.
Yeah, exactly.
So, at that point, that becomes a whole other hot button topic of, just how far, will our government and politicians go to be making choices on behalf of people who do not have that decision-making capability. And how much power
sure.
are we going to give them?
Sure. And when it comes to the power, how much power do we have, or do people have over
a governing
body? You know, because the people in Congress can only do so much. You know
and,
what I mean?
And and they themselves could get themselves in sticky situations as well.
Absolutely.
That just is not even on the spectrum of disability-related issues.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's not even, if I may speak, I mean, it's not even, it doesn't, it extends far beyond just disability, you know.
Correct.
It affects
this is just one simple portion. I mean, we could speak on this because we are people that have been touched by a special need or disability at, you know, on some level, it impacts our life.
Right.
But, you know, this impacts a lot more than people that, you know, have a special need or, you know, a disability. And people
right.
who cannot necessarily, you know, or do not necessarily have the capability to speak up for themselves. You know, I would urge
yeah.
anybody listening to this podcast, if you do have an opinion about this, if you do feel that, you know, it could negatively impact, you know, either yourselves or other people, you absolutely, you know, need to take action and need to be saying something and need to be writing to, you know, your local politicians. Need to be writing it to Social Security and letting them know that this is not something that you want, that this is not okay.
I mean,
that's
it,
the only way
not,
that they'll...
Yeah.
That's the only
it,
way that
it's
they'll
not
know.
And it's not okay because even if you... If there was such a thing as the CEO of Social Security, he wouldn't know either. You know, he gets missives all day. You know,
mm-hmm.
all day, every day. Missives from, you know, every whip stitch. And all he sees is different things being flown at him, you know, chucked at him. And do you think he has a personal opinion? Of course he does. But does he have a professional opinion, or does he have an assistant who feathers out that professional opinion to others? That's the thing I'm going to go for.
Well, I think it's more than just the act itself that needs the attention. You know, the fact that this particular act or incident is, you know, a possible disservice to people who cannot make those decisions. It's the principle of making decisions on behalf of people who may not, again, have that capacity to make those decisions and who
yeah.
have the impact. So, you know,
right.
you need to be more prudent when you're making these decisions. And we as people that are here that are able to speak up on behalf of these types of decisions, we need to be doing something about it because it's not just about this one incident. There's multiple
oh,
incidents
yeah,
and
right.
acts out there that we need to be taking a stand on and speaking up for the people who do not have a voice and may not be able to speak up for themselves. That is our duty.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
right.
when they introduced the ABLE Act, which we covered on the show,
A multitude of times.
It began with a person with a disability who had, I think, autism as well. And then, of course, Autism Speaks had to get involved. I mean, on the show, we don't like how Autism Speaks does their business.
Handles
their business. Because of the fact
mm-hmm.
that they don't represent autism the way we know autism, or the way we know ADHD. They represent the research. I understand that. But you don't have to
research
use autism
is all fine.
People with autism for your own money-making purposes. That's
right,
ridiculous.
Right, right. When a grassroots or a not-for-profit organization has become a million-dollar conglomeration, I'm not saying don't be prosperous as long as the funding and as long as, you know, the efforts are going back into the community. I for one, have not benefited anything. My son has not really benefited anything. You know, I still participate, you know, in the walks and whatnot every year. But, you know, where, you know, the research. Well, out of all the research, I'm not personally seeing any benefits to my
mother,
okay, or to a lot of children out there in way of services. So, the research
right,
is doing
I,
what?
I know. I
mean,
yeah,
the research is bunkus if you're not providing stuff.
Research is nice, but where are the results?
Correct. Your research is wonderful, but out of your research, what has been put into play out of your findings? What types of programs are out there? Because as we all know, you know, autism does not have a stereotype. It does not affect only a certain financial group or a certain race. It affects, you know, whether you're a family that makes, you know, $300,000 a year or whether you're a single mother that makes, you know, $25,000 a year. You know, I'm here to tell you that it does not pick and choose who it wants to affect. You know, so not everybody can afford the extra services and the behavioral sciences and all you know, the nice things that really help to combat it.
Right. I know in my area, adults with disabilities, doesn't matter what disability, there's no adults. There's no services out there. It would be even a way of getting out and just interacting with people who might be of your own age, girl. That's few and far between. The kids are in high school.
Well, and it needs to come down from a federal level across the United States. There should not be a difference from state to state in services that are offered. It needs to come down from a federal level.
I agree.
I mean, now that they're cracking down, the feds are cracking down, even the UN is cracking down. We'll have to see, do they actually follow through? Because Ban Ki-moon is saying, go out and encourage people with autism who are on the spectrum, hire them. Why? Because they're better than you.
And people with autism, there's people out there that know, that they just learn, and they master one. They know so much about one topic, or they know in-depth knowledge that could actually be a benefit to two people in some capacity. If you don't hire them, you won't know.
There is no one cookie cutter. Yeah. And here's the other, you know, situation with this. There is no cookie cutter, you know, cure. There is no cookie cutter one way of doing things. There is no cookie cutter therapy. If you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. There is no general where we could put them in a box and say, okay, if you have, you know, somebody on the spectrum, they're going to have, you know, these type of traits, or they're going to behave in this type of manner. It will vary from individual to individual. So it's not a cookie cutter situation, and there should be tailored programs and tailored therapies out there, you know, to the individual, because each individual is different.
Right.
It's absolutely ridiculous to think that one method is going to help the general population. It's not a general population. It's a very, very individualized situation, and that's why it's called a spectrum. Correct.
Right.
And I mean, to get straight to, I mean, our second segment, which happens to be the other Atlantic, the United Airlines incident, it's the same thing. When talking about this incident, did they have to go and say, you're going to be removed off the plane over a sandwich and a scream?
Okay,
I mean,
you know what? This is a very hot button for me. This is a very hot button for me, because I can tell you, okay, that there are what we call, because, you know, it's not nice to say normal, not normal, because, like, quite honestly, who is to dictate in this world what is normal? What is normal to me may not be normal to you. It's normal for my life,
right,
first and foremost.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
So I'm just going to use the word, I don't even like the word typical, but for the sake of the general population listening, we'll just say typical. I have seen typical children that their behavior far, far outweighs any behavior of any child on the spectrum. And they are not removed from planes. They're kicking, they're screaming, they're carrying on, and I don't see jack crap done. But yet you have somebody who needs the empathy, who needs the understanding, and yet they are being removed from a plane. So you are punishing them for having a disability that is beyond their control. And that's the bottom line. And the behavior of the United Airlines staff was absolutely disgraceful, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, disgraceful. It's it's almost likely that I can see, you know, because this person has flown 5 countries and 24 states. Okay? 5 countries and 24 states. And they're blaming her for having a disability.
Correct.
That's...
She's being punished for having a disability. She's being made a public spectacle and humiliated, okay, in front of her peers for having a disability. And is that the message
right.
that we're sending out in this country, that if you have a disability, you are part of a minority and you are not worthy to be in the general population? But yet we have people who are felons, who are pedophiles, who get more respect in our public society than somebody with a disability. So I really think we need to step back and reevaluate our priorities here.
I mean, I would agree with you 100%.
I think
that said it all. you know, the other thing about it is that if you have a disability, there are services like the TSA. When at least I went to Disney World, you know, the person who was with me called the TSA and I said, you know, they have this, and then we got their service and they were wonderful. But yet, what really sort of disturbed me was the way that the announcement was made over the airline,
right.
which was, oh yes, welcome to Delta,
was
Delta? Yes.
not United. Thank God for that.
No, it wasn't. It was Delta. Yeah. Welcome
to
Delta Airlines. Standard announcement, and then it says, in our notes, we have somebody who has a peanut allergy, so we will not be serving peanuts for the remainder of the flight. Which is fine, it's respectful, but it was the way that she delivered it. Like,
it was just,
she singled the person when I traveled it out. You know?
Putting the sign up there, like, this person has an allergy. God, if you have any problems... Go. It's like, let's make them look like worse than what they are.
I mean, you might as well say, you know, let's make a public announcement. Please be careful when you're using the restroom on the airplane because somebody sitting next to you may use it and have VD. So why don't you just say that? If you're going to out them, that's really nobody's business. It's really nobody's business that I have a peanut allergy. I mean, quite frankly. You know, whatever it is that I'm working on, that's nobody's business. So when is it going to stop and stop making people a spectacle because of something that they have going on? It's really not your business.
Right. It's also the same thing about ADHD, right? I have ADHD. Yeah. Back 20 years ago, you couldn't mention ADHD. You'd be shot, you know, in the fact that, we have to mainstream them. Well, what is mainstream? And that's a total... That's a total other conversation, but it's the same thing with any disability. You can't go into an airport, any public place with saying, I have a disability, 20 years ago. What? Bang. You know, but now I have a disability. Oh, let me get closer. You know, let's get closer.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get closer? How do we talk about?
Or how can we help? Or it could be
how could help
in such a way that is beneficial to everyone.
Well, first of all, if mainstream, as we like to put it, or typical society, if this
society.
Is the behavior of typical society is to, you know, segregate and ridicule and publicly humiliate people who are different, I thank God that my child is not part of mainstream or public society.
Yeah. I mean, hear with that. I mean, it is a kind of thing where if you're disabled or you have a disability, any disability whatsoever, you thank God that you were born with the disability, that you are different.
Exactly.
Because
correct.
Many people don't know what it's like, and they say, oh, so sorry for you. I feel so sorry. I'm like, you feel sorry for me. Look at your life. Look at your life. You know, as you put it, you might be sitting next to a guy with venereal disease. Okay. So you might be sitting with a guy next to him who has venereal disease, but also has a wife who has AIDS, and then a son who has full-blown Tourette syndrome.
Right,
you know,
right. It's so funny. Typical society who brings these things on to their own detriment, on their own, you know, with, you know, drug addiction or, you know, food addiction or, you know, some type of, you know, or like I said, like all of these felons and pedophilia and all these, you know, things, and you feel sorry for us?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you could have gone up to Abe Lincoln some while ago and go, Abe, yes, we have something to tell you. What? You have autism. Really? Yes. I have autism? What? Yeah, I have autism. Oh, great. Abe, what? There's a bullet flying at you. What? What's going to happen? Yes, our president is dead. Same with John F. Kennedy. Same with, you know, you're going through history and you're going, these people, now we learn, have had disabilities. No wonder why John F. Kennedy's, what was it, in his line, whoever created the Special Olympics, you know, created the Special Olympics for a reason. You know, to support disability research and to support people who have it, you know. And it's not an it thing anymore. It's the thing, you know. It's become a thing where Delta Air or United is going to have to pay a pretty fine, you know, for what
they
did.
As they absolutely should. I almost would say that, you know, it shouldn't even be a matter of civil lawsuit. I mean, to me, what they did was so offensive. Literally, to me, have taken a decision upon yourself, and you have neglected their right as a human being, their right as a citizen, okay, and their right to be able to fly, you know, anywhere or be anywhere in the general population without being ridiculed, without being humiliated. You have basically stepped over their human and civil rights, you know, and the passengers didn't have an issue with it. Okay.
Right.
Nobody had an issue with it. It was the pilot. That was his own personal problem. This was not a problem of the airline. This was the pilot's personal problem and personal
and the
opinion
pilot,
that he was not comfortable.
Right. And then the pilot, you know, the pilot, yes, you are flying Americans, people from around the world. French people could be in the front, right? And go, oh, no, there goes a kid with autism. Oh, no, you know. But then you would have a pilot who would not have any clue what was going on in any section of the fucking airplane.
Well, her
really?
Right as a human being, her civil rights, her, you know, her human rights, they were violated. They were very, they were egregiously violated. And somebody needs to pay up for that. And again, as people who can speak up for those who cannot, we absolutely, I know that I personally will be, you know, writing, you know, a strongly worded letter to United Airlines, you know, going ahead and letting them know my absolute disgust. But it needs to go way further than that. It's not even about the airlines. Until we actually step up and we do start writing our politicians, we do, you know, we start writing our state representatives, and really making some noise for the people who cannot make the noise for themselves is when it's going to make a difference. So I don't really care about all of your research. I don't really give two shits about all of your, you know, your pansy, flowery little programs out there What I want to see is you make a difference. I want to see, you know, companies and lawmakers actually make a difference to where there are sensitivity trainings so that these people can go out and enjoy the basic human right if they want to go on vacation with their family, if they want to go shopping in a store, if they want to go eat at a restaurant. They absolutely deserve that basic human right of respect.
Right. I know in Disney,
exactly.
When I was there, there was a great waitress who made it seem like it was a show because, oh, yeah, I have an allergy. It's like, and oh, yeah, it may have been annoying to her. And, by the way, if anyone goes to Disney, don't go into the, as much as you like characters, don't go to the restaurant in Norway.
Right.
It's the, unless you want to get hurt, feel like you're a prisoner, feel like you're
yeah,
a criminal.
And feel like you're exceptionally cold as well. And feel like you're being talked about. As well.
Well, what I find very funny is that, you know, people with a peanut allergy are getting, you know, more they're getting more respect and they're getting more accommodations made for them than somebody with a disability. And that's disgusting. That is a shame.
Yeah.
It's bad when I was the one who was affected by this, and I don't care. I could blast the restaurant's name out. And I also still have the receipt with the lovely waitress's name, which the meal was not good. And
well, yeah,
I have posted could show a lot of people don't go there, just don't. Not unless your kids want to be put through agony of having an allergy. If it's just a point of going, you're wanting to suggest that you will help me if I need anything, and then do the bait and switch? No. I might be 20-something years old, but I have a mouth. I know what to say, and I know who to say it to.
Zach?
Yeah, I mean, we both have mouths. It's a matter of how much you piss us off. I mean, okay, I'll claim the guilty party. I was with the other person. All right, the other person who's speaking, we went into the Disney offices, I'll never forget this, to try to get the disability card that they keep claiming that.
Oh, great.
That
was fun.
We both have disabilities, and they didn't want to give it to us. I had to
didn't
want to
give
say,
me it. No. I was the one who said, oh, we have a 65,000 listener podcast, and I have a mouth. I have enough followers to know that about this going on. Would you like your name? Would you like to be outed? Pretty much, and say, I'm an advocate. I am not afraid to use my mouth.
Well, it shouldn't even have to come to that, because not all disabilities are readily visible. And the problem with our society, or one of the problems of many, is they think because, you know, you're not in a wheelchair or because you do not have a readily available, visible disability, that you don't have a disability. You do not know what it's like to be on the spectrum. You do not know what it's like to have, you know, anxiety or sensory overload because you're standing in a line with, you know, hundreds of other people for, you know, over an hour. You do not know what that person is going through. You cannot make that decision for them. And who are you to judge based on the appearance of somebody, whether they should or not be worthy of a guest assistance pass? That is not your place to make that decision. And again, it all comes down to needing that sensitivity training to the hospitality industry as a whole. But again, this is something that needs to come down from the federal government down to these, you know, these types of businesses and these types of places. So, you know, we need to be able to speak up, and there absolutely should be sensitivity training.
For me, right. I would like, know how there's undercover, those who go in for, like, restaurants, like the undercover, like, they
undercover
go
bosses.
In for the, no, yeah, undercover bosses, but
that's
then
like
they
that.
Also have those.
You know,
like undercover people who go in and help out the restaurants. I think people with disabilities, there should be an organization some people who have visible disabilities, and then those that don't, like myself, but as Asperger's syndrome, and I could say it loud and proud that people could get used this as a career and go, are you going to offer me your services? And then they're rated on their level of help and need. And for me, Paul would come in and say, yes, I have a radio show, and I'm an advocate, and I could do all this. And they started a corporate could do you wonders. And it's like, this is about 7 a.m. So picture me 7 a.m., not even awake, but it's like a soccer game. That's what you create. Equated to me defending myself, me taking the older woman kind of down, and I was loud enough where everyone in the guest relations office heard me. And as much as I didn't want to be loud, I made it where it was, okay, whichever one is supervisor, I'm going to be as loud enough. So they know I am here. I'm not particularly pleased. I was very professional. But I was like, so would you like to ruin my trip? Because that could be happen, and I could blame it all on you. Thank you.
Right.
And after that, slip actually came. I was like, take my picture, hand it over. I'm signing it, and thank you.
You need to follow up with an email to corporate. I have done so on many occasions with Disney to where they actually have done a sensitivity training, and this came down from their corporate offices because I raised enough of a stink and launched an all-out social media campaign where I had enough people writing in about several incidences that I've had at Disney with my child who is on the spectrum. And I took it straight to corporate, and then did it make my experience at that moment any better? No, it absolutely did not. But at the end of it all, I did make enough of a stink through corporate for them to actually do a sensitivity training from the California parks all the way down through Orlando. So, you know, we need to keep on top of them.
They sometimes think that they're so, that they don't get it, too. So they want to try to make it go.
Sorry about that, guys.
It's okay.
All right. But, you know, they don't get it. I mean, the amount of shit that we're put through in our lifetime as people with disabilities, okay, is enough shit to watch Niagara Falls go a million times.
The amount of shit that people with a disability, especially those, it's even harder for those, you know, who are either A on the spectrum or they have ADHD or where the disability is not actually visible. Like yourself, like Allie, like my child, mm-hmm. because for all other aspects, you know, people view, you know, you as, you know, oh, well, they look typical or they look normal. Well, what's normal looking?
They look normal, but they act weird.
Correct. Maybe?
So if we look normal and act weird, then there must be something wrong. Yeah. Oh wait, we're not allowed to actually go in and change the world. Well, you'd be surprised by how many things, you know, like the More You Know advertisements. Yeah. They should make one for disabilities. Well, the more you know about disabilities, help your child do this. Fuck you, NBC. No. As a matter of fact, it should be the four-legged fucking peacock. You know?
I know plenty of people out there in mainstream population and in the typical world that are way weirder and have much more odder behavior than anybody that's diagnosed on the spectrum. I can tell you that.
Right.
I can tell you that personally.
It's almost like Yes, we need to get a celebrity to endorse disability. There are plenty of them. And all of them have disabilities.
It's not a button. If they actually want to come on and say, oh, yeah, we do have access to
that. Right, right. And the other thing about it is also the ones that have disabilities, okay, which is in part why I didn't like Glee.
Oh, Glee.
Because of the fact that they raped the music industry, that's number one.
Preach it.
Did they rape the music industry? Yes. Did they mash up things that weren't plausible? Yes. Did they use a kid without a disability in a wheelchair? Yes, they did. But then, to be fair, they also had a disabled person who actually played Becky very well. Who's now part of the special education group at the White House and is doing a lot of good. You know, I totally commend her and I love her stuff. But it doesn't... Yes, Glee did some really good things, but it doesn't stop at a frickin' TV show about a Glee group. You know,
there's so many more people out there that
there's so many more people that deserve the shot. You know, I thank God that I'm put in this position. I'm also a professional playwright off air, and I thank God I can actually represent my community of people.
Yeah.
You know, as a learning disabled playwright, as somebody who's making a difference. You know. It's the same thing, you know, it's the same thing. If you want to be given a shot, give that person the shot. Don't be like, oh, you may get a shot. You may not get a shot.
It's like, could you please.
It's ridiculous.
It's like, could you please give a chance in whatever career?
Right.
If you're going in, because how many people are actually out of work and have disabilities and are unable to find work because of some
many
and in actuality, there's so many, there's thousands, and yet, you know, you have people that are part of the, you know, the typical population that, you know, take advantage of the opportunities that are afforded to them, and they dismiss them. They don't show up to their jobs. They don't do a good job. And, I mean, in reality, you know, these corporations and the public in general is doing themselves a great disservice by really not harnessing the gifts and the talents that these individuals have. Just because you have a disability or you have a deficit in one area does not mean that you cannot excel in another. Things that, and I say this all the time, parents of typical children often take for granted a lot of the little milestones and things that their children do. When you are a parent of a child who does have a deficit or a disability, every little milestone, every little accomplishment is celebrated. And because that child has to work 10 times harder and put forth 10 times more effort to something that could be a simple or menial task to a typical child. So these are very well the kind of children that we want to grow into adults that you do want on your workforce, because they're going to work 10 times harder for you, because sadly they have been conditioned to have to work 10 times harder to prove themselves to you.
Right, right. I mean, people ask me all the time, oh, can you help me out with this? And I have to say, if it's in my workload, I will help out.
Yeah.
If it's not, I can't do much. You know, I can point you to somebody else who can. I can't, you know, because I can only focus on four projects at a time. You know,
typically people
that's just
who have
how
a deficit
I'm...
in one area or you have a disability, I mean, if you have one limb, the other limb's stronger. Well, it's the same thing, even if it's a deficit or a disability in the brain. You may have one
exactly.
area that may be lacking, but that doesn't mean, like, the whole package is garbage. You know, that simply means that there are other areas where that person has skills and capabilities that far supersede those of their typical peers. So you are really doing yourself a disservice by not taking these children and really embracing them and harnessing the talents and the skills that they have. And those are the skills that you need to be strengthening, because that could be a huge, huge, you know, gift for your company or for your organization. I mean, you're just missing out on all that these people have to offer.
Right, exactly. And we have 5 minutes to get to read the credits. But also, you know, I think that it deserves a part two. I mean, tomorrow. if there's any way, Christina, if you can come back on. And,
absolutely.
All right.
I will keep on with this message, and I will get it out to everybody. And I do challenge anybody who is within earshot that is listening to this podcast to, you know, to take action and to really listen to what we're saying and help us to spread that awareness. Because it's not about even all of the therapies, and we can go on and on and on about how the federal government needs to step in, but it simply starts with you as an individual taking action and spreading that awareness.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you kind of have to take it, you don't have to take it in a box and run with it, but you do have to kind of go, listen, because, let's see, I got told that I couldn't be a playwright because I had a deficit. Well, guess what? I love Gotham. I love my favorite show is Orange is the New Black. I don't know if you've, you know, and I love, I want to be on one of those writing staffs, you know, and start to change things.
And who's to say that you absolutely could not? You could do anything you want to do.
That's right. That's right.
Just,
I mean,
it's like with my disability, like, people tell me I can't do anything, I say, watch me.
There
correct.
You watch us. Watch us. And it is 11:57.
Watch
I guess the only credits that we're going to get to is who it was hosted by. Let's see. It was produced by us, hosted by Alice and myself, Red Hood, Johnny, and our special guest was Christina. And she and I and everybody here will be back tomorrow at the same time, same place. We'll be back at 10 o'clock and broadcast until 11. And we will have more shit to go on than just tonight. I mean, tonight was great.
That was awesome.
And
I'm going to leave you with this. When you say watch me, just in closing, when I was 350 pounds and I was in a wheelchair and they told me that I would not walk again, and you've met me in person and you've seen my size, I said, really? Watch me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that goes for anybody. So, yeah, we will bid you adieu for tonight, and we will see you tomorrow, I guess.
Yes.
There's some more stuff. All right. Anyway,
sounds great.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
Night.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.